appeals to creature fic. One is the fantasy world-building aspect, the freedom of exploration there that some people, people that I definitely do not know or like, are super into. And the other is the kinky aspect, primarily the loss of control, be it through bloodlust, transformation, ferality, or bondage and strength. We also can't look at creature fic without talking non-con, fuck or die, and slaves to instincts.
I really can't believe you actually said world-building without gagging.
That's growth.
Wow. It's nice to know I've had a positive impact.
I felt a little nauseous, I won't lie.
I mean, baby steps. So I think, for me, I understand what you're saying. Like, yes, there's the fantasy world building, and then there's the kind of kinky aspect. I think the fantasy world building is actually a little bit more complicated than that for me, because it's also just pure escapism. Like, when we're talking about world building, that's significantly more of an author word than a reader word.
Right.
In terms of why you enjoy it. So I don't love writing creature fic because I love world building it as much as I like reading it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, because it's not like, I mean, I'm not a huge like fantasy world person, but I definitely love creature fic. So totally agree with that, yeah.
But sociologically, nerd, one of the things that we know about vampires and werewolves and other immortal creatures in particular is that there is a real comfort that people find in their eternality, that they are not affected by the petty problems of the planet at the time.
Right.
That they are the people that like have been here before, got the t-shirt, and they will survive it. And people actually find quite a lot of hope in creatures, in fiction with creatures. And when we see some of the ways, especially that vampires and werewolves, and I would say some of the dragon fic I've read as well, we see that in fandom, I think we really get that. Like, part of it is this, like, Tony the vampire has seen everything Steve has seen.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. So I think, like, that's a real thing for me, too, and that would fall into the fantasy world building, but I wanted to bring that out because it's just a little bit different.
It gives you a lot of space for reframing of the fears and traumas and troubles and strifes of the characters that we already like. There's a lot of room to reframe that however you want to.
Yeah, in the same way that like Omegaverse lets us reframe gender stuff. It like it's another tool to kind of do that. Now, in terms of the like kinky aspect, I think we all need to just admit that the loss of control can be really sexy.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons we don't want to give up control is that we don't feel safe. Well, innately within this construct, you can give up control and still be safe in a ferality way that doesn't really even transcend into BDSM.
Yeah, and it's even like, I mean, some of the unsafety is part of the appeal too. Like, there's that same, the similar aspect of like watching horror gives you kind of like a, I mean, not for me because I do not watch scary stuff, but there's an appeal to sort of having an explanation for the creepy feeling at the back of your neck. Like, you can kind of just be like, oh, it's a story, you know, like there's nothing really scary. Scary things aren't real. You kind of indulge in the fake scary to sort of shuffle off the real scary that looms in the corners of your mind. And I think the loss of control within the safety of the fic, both from the perspective of the loss of control of the creature itself, and then the loss of control of being overpowered by the creature, is that sort of safe exploration of fear.
100%. And I think, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit more, especially, I mean, my personal kink really goes more to the werewolf aspect of these things. We'll get into that in a couple seconds. Real thirsty on Maine in this episode.
Yeah, get that from both of us.
The term sexual awakening appears in our notes. So yeah. Just get excited. Possibly more than once. But there's another thing too, that like, no matter how terrible my life is, this other creature's life has been harder.
Yeah. And then they still, you know, if they still get love and a happy ending and hope, and in many of these fics, there's like a soulmate aspect, or at least the right one for me, or you are the special one aspect, and to be like, yes, this person has suffered all these things and they have this like essentially condition and they still have a person that's the person for them, that's very comforting as well.
Yeah. And then my kind of last thing when we think about to bring up what you said at the kind of the last thing is the non-con fuck or die sex like pollen kind of aspect of all. There are quite a lot of people who are aroused by the idea of non-con, but for a whole host of reasons, do not feel comfortable exploring that arousal.
Right. So pure non-con fiction would be too
far for them.
Yeah.
And that could be totally this isn't a judgment statement. We do definitely judge on this podcast, but not in this segment. Mm-hmm. But they still need to explore that. They still need to. And a creature fic is an incredible kind of either a baby step into that or just a really happy medium of, well, the non-con is not between two humans that should know consent. The consent is removed by a supernatural element.
Yeah. And that, I think the sex pollen, like away from creature fic, that's the appeal for a lot of people of the sex pollen non-con as well, or the anything that we could mark dub con, where it's like, technically the consent has been removed, but the passion, the desire, and the pleasure is still there.
Correct.
And so we can excuse the lack of consent because everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the difference between a rape fantasy fic and a rape fic.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of lines that for a lot of people, they use art to explore those boundaries, whether it be fan fiction or other mediums. And fic is one of the greatest places to explore the, huh, what if?
Yeah.
Because there are no stakes.
Yeah.
And so you can just really kind of go with it. So for me, the creature fic, like the slave, like I don't always know what to do with slave fics personally, but one of the characters being enslaved to a werewolf, that I can read.
Yeah. And I mentioned before, a slave to instinct, like this idea that the supernatural quality takes them over so much that they're no longer responsible for their actions, which excuses them to themselves, to the reader, and to the person that they're like potentially attacking, you could say.
And it still hasn't invalidated their humanity in a way that often that kind of behavior, we as humans are conditioned to believe that that is not human behavior.
Yeah. And because we see the parallels, especially for, say, vampires, we see the bloodlust being the sort of drive where we see consent being hard, or they're fighting with, you know, if we see that fight happen within them, they know they shouldn't, but then they give in and do. That's a big part of vampire fix, particularly this idea of having to fight the instinct, having this desire that you can't hold back. And I think that actually leads us right into our first creature section before I go on too much about vampires. So stick around and we're going to dive into a plug about vampire fix.